Hey, good morning, my friends. Skip here. February 20th. It's a Tuesday morning. It's 5:40 a.m. Trying to get myself on some sort of morning schedule. Up at 4:45. A little caffeine. A little bit of news. Do a 15-minute podcast. Take a shower. Go to work. Some days that's a little some days that's a little off. This morning I'm tired because we went to what I thought was going to be our last basketball game for my son, who's a senior, and it's a playoff game, so when you lose, you're done. They won. So, I drove the hour and a half home, got to bed about 11 o'clock. And then we're playing again on Thursday. It doesn't look good, but who knows? Maybe the other team will implode and we'll have a stellar night. You never can tell. Anyway, I hope this day greets you well. Getting ready to get into work again. Get back into the swing after a three-day weekend. I want to talk today about your inner dialogue. Those competing voices. We all have it. I don't make fun of people, or I don't think less of people who talk to themselves, because I think an inner dialogue is a healthy dialogue. And if we listen closely, that inner dialogue really comes down to two voices that we have. We have the voice of reason and authenticity, and we have the voice of our ego. And the question really becomes, which one do you listen to? Now, when I say ego, what I mean by that is the self developed by the systems of the world that we've created, the false reality. We develop that egoic self, that self that doesn't see anything bigger than itself. And we develop that in a reality that calls for us to be that, to self-perpetuate itself. So in order for the false reality to continue to function, the systems, the politics, the religions, the economics, it necessarily takes people who don't think beyond their own wants and needs. So that's one voice in us, and we all have that voice. And the other voice is a voice that sounds similar but feels a little different, and that's our true voice. That's our authentic voice. And there's inner dialogue. I think at least it goes on in me. Probably goes on in you. Where you know that there's something authentic being said, but sometimes it's hard to discern that. And sometimes that discernment, the answer to that discernment is surprising, because sometimes we act out of a sense of authenticity. And, because it's so antithetical to the ways of the world, it feels weird. Our ego is telling us it's wrong. Sometimes we act in ways in the world where our authentic self tells us, don't do this that way. And it's listening to that. It's discerning those voices. And I don't mean to make it sound like a sort of type of schizophrenia, but there is a discerning that has to go on within us to determine, not just right from wrong, but what do we really need for our spirit? What do we really need for our true self? What do we really need to express ourselves authentically? And because we are so programmed, we are so heavily programmed. Sometimes that's hard to figure out. Sometimes we lean on the rules and the ways of thought of the world, and we think that's the right thing to do, and it ends up not. And sometimes vice versa. So how do we discern, right? How do we listen? Well, here's the thing. And I think here's what's important to hold on to. When we love, we have to include ourselves in that love. We have been told and programmed to believe that we're not worthy even of our own love. And because of that, what happens is we make decisions from a place that is not, that is devoid of our authenticity. Now, I'm not saying that we should go out and do whatever we want. That's not good for ourselves either. But we do have to put in the mix of our decision-making process, we do have to introduce into that inner dialogue our need to express ourselves, our need to be creative, our need to continue our self-realization, our own need for intimacy. And you'll notice I'm using the word need and not want, because I think there's a big difference. There are some things that I want, I think, that are in line with authenticity. But I don't think we spend a whole lot of time thinking about what we need. Because when you love someone, right? Let's say you love your spouse, your children, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your friends. You spend a lot of time addressing what they need, right? My kids need to eat. One's getting ready for college. One's getting ready to move out. One needs a new car. These are needs of the people I love, and I'm going to do all I can to help address them. What happens to us is that we forget ourselves in that. And there's a big danger in forgetting ourselves in the equation of love. Because when we do that, then we end up not necessarily resentful, but really neglecting ourselves. And if we're to really discern that inner dialogue, we have to include ourselves in the same way we do other people. Now, the caution is this, and I've seen it, that you can think so much of yourself that you neglect other people. That you can, you know, that because you think you need something, you can let other people go without. You can become narcissistic, self-centered. That's where this inner dialogue is important to develop and to understand. Because it really takes some humility and some self-awareness to discern on that very deep level what you need, what others need, what is best, what is possible in any given situation. And that's something that's very difficult, because never forget, when you're dealing with other people, you're dealing with other people's perception and their process and their projection of reality. And sometimes that does not include what you need. And it's not that they're being mean or neglectful. It's that they're not aware. They're not aware because of how they perceive. And so this inner dialogue that we have is really important. And it can be often very difficult. Sometimes when we're in, you know, relationships with people, any kind of relationship, and you're not getting your needs met in that relationship, we have to really be patient. We have to be patient with all of humanity, and we have to employ and deploy a lot of compassion. Because never forget, we don't perceive fully, they don't perceive fully, that we are still very much processing through the filters given us by the false reality. And that's not an easy thing. I was just chatting with a friend yesterday about how difficult life can be, how difficult some situations can be, and how to kind of move through those difficult situations, move through sort of your own thought process in those situations. And we have to have a balance. You know, we have to understand that, yes, we have needs. There are things we want to do. There are things we need to do for our spirit. But there are things other people need to do for their spirit. And they are where they're at, and we are where we are at on the spiritual journey. And it's not about making someone do something or, you know, always getting our way. It is a constant discernment in each situation. Maybe you've heard the term, choose your battles, right? Choose your battles. What hill do you want to die on is another way of saying it. You have to choose where to engage and where to withdraw. You have to choose where to seek support and then where to reach out. You have to choose who you get that support from and that they don't have their own agenda. You have to discern, is someone else capable of understanding you? Are you understanding them? And are you showing enough compassion and love? Or are you pissed off because you're not getting your way? Folks, this is not easy stuff. And I think that's why very few people sort of recoil and move away from it. It's just not easy to intuitively discern, to understand what's right and wrong, you know, for yourself and for others. Because there's so much interference, that other voice, that ego voice that has been around our whole life is still there. And maybe that is constructed of, you know, a morality that is based in some notion of religion. Maybe it's constructed of egocentrism. Maybe it's constructed of, you know, always being a victim. Maybe we don't think enough of ourselves to even consider that what we need for our spirit is legitimate. And that may sound like a very sort of complex, tiring thing to look at all the time. But I'm going to tell you, folks, this is not easy work. And anyone who presents spirituality as easy probably is not presenting real spirituality. They present some version of it, some religious version, some self-help version, some whatever. I don't want to name things. I don't, you know. The journey to self-discovery, the journey to self-realization, the journey to loving oneself and knowing that their needs do not surpass others, but they are equal to others, is very important. And if your inner dialogue does not include that notion, then we need to work on that. Let me say that again. Our needs in this life do not surpass others, but they're not less either. And that can be hard because we're taught that it's all about sacrifice, right? Well, it is partly about sacrifice, but it's also about self-realization. And it's walking that fine balance. It is employing compassion and sympathy and empathy for others and, my friends, for yourself. And any inner dialogue holds those things in tension, holds those things equally. One does not win. There is no winners or losers. But there are ways in which we can exist that accommodate both the needs of others, the needs of the people we love, and our needs, because we should love ourselves. All right, there you have it. Keep on keeping on, my friends. It's complicated. It's hard. But what isn't, right? This is our spirit becoming love. This is the work that needs to be done. Anyway, I will talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.